All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 306 of the 9 Years podcast. And here we are, back again. It's been a while. What was the lyric, Stu? Here we are again. What is it? Here we are again. All good.
All good. Here we go again. All good friends.
Happy as can be. All good friends and jolly good company.
Stanley Reed, bless his soul, used to always sing that. I used to love it.
That is the voice of Stuart Deakins, by the way, listeners. I am Nick Draper. Thank you for joining us. We have had a little break, but we are back. Better than ever, I'm sure you agree. As you can see from the start there, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? We had that well planned out, I feel.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you for joining us. We are talking this week, so back with the podcast, and we are looking back over our Christmas fixtures. We're going to be looking ahead to the January transfer window and what we might expect from it, and we might also discuss what has already happened, despite the fact it's only the fifth day of January. And we've got our game Jackson 5 as well before we look ahead to the trip to Crewe, the rearranged trip to Crewe on the weekend. Stu, we should probably start with that transfer news that I referenced there, only because it might then come up in conversation during our review of the games we've just had when we talk about team selections and things and tactics and things like that. So what have we got? We are four players down, if I've got that right, in the sense of Paris Mogoma and Carl Hudlin have returned to their parent clubs, Brentford and Huddersfield, respectively. And then Quain Bartley and Kwaku Frimpong have gone on loan to non-league. Quain has gone to Wingate and Finchley, correct?
I think they are. I'm trying to think. They've gone somewhere.
I mean, if he's gone to...
They've gone non-league.
If he's gone to Wingate and Finchley, like, how do they share him? Does one get one?
No, no. John, I think one's Potter's Bar, isn't it? Because isn't Potter's Bar where Sammy Moore, is currently residing?
Ah, I see. That makes sense. Yeah, that is where Frimpong has gone. He's gone to Potter's Bar.
He's definitely the player that Sammy Moore would love, wouldn't he? Do you know what I mean? Every second touch for Frimpong is a 50-50. Do you know what I mean? He loves a tackle, doesn't he?
Well, you've seen more of him than I have, if I'm being very honest. But yes, hopefully. I mean, all this is really is now what we said all along. These players need some time to experience football, to experience men's football. As we've discussed this many times on the podcast in the past, and certainly Quain probably needed it in August, to be fair. But hey,
yeah, I think we held on to be fair. He was on our bench, wasn't he, early on? So I think it's one of those, obviously, with similar with Alfie Bender, wasn't it, and David Fisher, who could probably deal with loans, but at present time they are filling the bench.
Well, yes, they were. Hopefully they'll be able to get some game time. What do we make of the departures of Mogoma and Hudlin? Hudlin, who we lost 2-1, of course, to Sutton on New Year's Day. His performance was not well received.
Yeah, probably that's my dog at the moment. He's barking. He will shut up. He will feel barked the whole time now, won't he? Do you know what? I think Carl Hudlin, as soon as he was cup tied, as soon as Huddersfield cup tied him and didn't allow him to play in the FA Cup, that sent alarm bells, if I'm being truthful. I felt then, let's be fair, we haven't played much of him, have we? We haven't played much. It's funny thing is, he's actually got more games in probably the last couple of weeks than he had most of the season. Of course, he was injured, wasn't he? So, not overly so surprised by Hudlin.
What about Mogoma? And I know that he picked up a knock, so we sort of thought he'd gone back to Brentford anyway, just whilst he was recovering from that. But now he's not going to be back at all. So, is Mogoma going back? Whether he's been recalled. That's the word. He's been recalled. Yeah. Brentford have wanted him back. But does it also hint that perhaps the style that we've settled on over the past few months with the back four being more direct, probably bypassing midfield a lot of the time, do you think it's actually one of those where is that a bit of a giveaway in terms of how we're going to recruit and sort of what players we're going to be looking for in January, because we're not going to revert to the style we had at the start of the season where Mogoma was more involved getting on the ball trying to make things happen?
Yeah, spot on. That's where I think, we've discussed this over during our break, haven't we? We were discussing the fact that what would our recruitment look like. I think it looks totally different to probably what Johnny Jackson would have been looking for in the summer. Difficult to know what influence he had over the summer. I think quite a bit, but let's be fair, the style of play, like I say, passing football, playing through the thirds to going, you know, front to back as quick as possible now. So I think you're right. I wouldn't be surprised if we had a little bit of a hand in Brentford taking him back. I think, hey, look, no club is ever going to say you've sent back a player to their parent club because it just doesn't look right. Mm. And I'm only surmising by it. I'm not overly disappointed, if I'm being honest with you, because like I say, you're right. I don't think he gets in that side as much. Because we're going a different way of football. We're going direct football. And if I'm being honest with you, we need a more streetwise, aggressive type of player rather than I think he's going to have a very good career. But it ain't going to be at League Two level where he's got to do the dirty side all the time. Yeah, and it frees up a loan. Like, I think we've only got one loan now, isn't it? Which is Nathan Young-Coombs.
Riley Towler.
How can I forget the doors and the wheels bloke?
Yeah.
So we've got three spaces left for loans. Hey, look, it's disappointing because obviously one of the players we thought we were going to get, Kasky. Oh, I always forget his name. I just call him Kasky. I don't know what his
Jake
full name
Forster
is.
Jake Forster-Karski or Kasky.
That's the person. Steven just snapped him up. Which is disappointing. They've done a lot of work in the window already. I must go shut my dog up in a minute. But yeah, it's not. I'm not gutted, to be honest with you.
The other piece of news so far in January is Courtney Senior's loan has been extended until the end of January. I've got that one right. So we talk about being low on numbers with the departures, but at least Courtney Senior is still around. And don't forget, Courtney Senior was not available for reasons on New Year's Day for the defeat to Sutton. That defeat to Sutton, was it an instance or was it a case of Ayuba Sal unwell? We thought he was going to get game time. Clearly pulled out very late in the day. Courtney Senior not available. So it made our squad strength look a little bit weaker than it actually is. Do you think that disrupted us, though? Was that really what it boiled down to? We've gone in with this 10-game unbeaten run in the league. Ayoub is prepped to start 4-2-3-1 out wide, changes it, don't have a natural replacement, and then we get off to a really bad start as we try and sort of figure our way out with the change in personnel.
Yeah, the Courtney Senior one was a really weird one, wasn't it? It was a short-term deal. So you'd always think it would be to cover the transfer window. You can only surmise and think maybe we thought we registered him a bit longer and we hadn't. So thankfully somebody spotted that, but didn't it help us for the Sutton game, did it really? Obviously with Sal now officially not being well. Those rumours, hey look, Nick, to be fair, we were at Sutton, weren't we? For half an hour there was some he's gone. Peterborough put a bid in. He's gone. The world is ended. We've got Carl Hudlin up front.
All sorts of rumours, but some of them were more outlandish than the others.
It was hilarious, wasn't it? To be fair, I started him. I was the one going, oh, he's obviously gone. Do you know what I mean? Like, you put two and two together, don't you? And then make 10. And then you see the video on the official site where they showed the shirt numbers. And you saw that his number was actually up. So you didn't think, okay, so we were planning, unless it was an elaborate scam.
I think it's an elaborate conspiracy theory. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
very cleverly planned.
If he's not a crew, what's going on? Do you know what I mean? But hey, look, it's the window, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? We know we've got sellable assets. And that's nice to be having a seven. I was thinking the other day, we've probably got four sellable assets that could probably go for decent money now or potentially in the future. You're thinking now, who the four?
Yep.
Hussein Byler.
Yep.
Jack Curry.
Yeah.
Ayuba Sal.
Yeah.
And the one that's way off the radar, Ethan Chislett. Nine goals from that position. And he basically has won goal of the year competition already because, like, I think he's won three of the four months already on the official site's goal of the month. Ridiculous when you look at his goal wheels.
I do want to talk about Ethan Chislett. We might come back to him when we talk more about the games recently. But of those, I can see what you're saying. In terms of getting big money for him, I'm not so sure. I can tell you which of those four I think, personally, we might get the biggest amount of money for and perhaps might go furthest. And I think that would be Hussein Bélair.
How are we pronouncing it? You're pronouncing it like Fresh Prince of Bélair.
Yeah, I'm going Bélair. But you know what I'll never do? I'll never call David Fisher David.
He's Portuguese or something, apparently.
David.
Although that's French for David Janola.
David Fisher is your typical, beautiful British name. I'm sorry. Like, working class background. Dad's an electrician. Mum works in a school. David Fisher kicks a ball about and he's made it. So, yeah, nothing will take me away from that mental picture I've created in my head. But anyway, yeah, I think Bélair, we'll go for Bélair or Bieler, whichever. I think he's the hottest prospect of them all. And that's saying a lot because we all know how good Jack Curry is as well.
That's right. I know why you're saying that, because I think his tenacity and his... He's got a will, although to be fair, and we're going to cover it, he got a little bit of a... he had a tough game at Sun. Let's be fair about that.
He did.
But that's great for his... Let's be fair. He's still developing. We can't expect him to be a seasoned right back. Hey, look, I think you're right. I think in terms of attacking, it's difficult for those players, you know, as Abassau and even Chislett, to... You've got to be a step above to go up. But I think fullback area... see, it's interesting because you've got our two fullbacks are so different. Jack Curry, cultured, posh, speaks well, technically very good. He is posh. Like, there's no doubt. He is. If he says he's from Wimbledon, right, he's from the village. You know, like when you're younger, like they say, where are you really from? Everyone says the village because that's posh. It's only up the hill, but it's posh. Jack Curry is up on the top of the hill. He's the posh fullback, right? He's the John Scales.
Comparison.
Do you know what I mean? Well spoken, can do the dirty side of it, but he's well spoken. Hussein Bieler is somebody who's going to be around your angle. He's an angle biter. He's going to have you. He's going to make sure you go and sit in the, you know, he's the Ben Thatcher. That's probably a bit of an unfair, but he's, I can see why you think that, because I think he is the one that you go, he's got a bit of an aggression, and you need that if you're going to move up the leagues.
Yeah, he has got that burden, but I just think technically as well, just in possession, just looks a little bit more composed for me. But hey, it's very early days, of course, and still very young players and developing. We wait with interest what happens in January, and if any of these players or any concrete offers come in for any of these players, we know scouts have been at Plough Lane watching, certainly Ayoub and certainly Jack. So we shall wait and see. Just to go back to the Sutton game for a minute, you said he had a hard game against it's Randall, isn't it? The Sutton winger, who I thought was number 11.
Very,
very good player, really good player.
I agree.
But as I say, do you think our poor start, to go back to what we were saying before, was it purely down to just adjusting without Ayoub starting and having someone in Nathan Young-Coombs trying to play a role that, let's be fair, Nathan Young-Coombs, there's only one position that guy should be playing, and he should be a poacher. He should be in the box alongside, in a two, I think, doesn't work on his own. Trying to get him to play left wing is really, really hard. And do you think that lost us the game in the end?
Difficult, isn't it? At the time, it was an obvious thing to say, wasn't it? Of, you know, look, you know, Nathan Young-Coombs is not a winger. Couldn't really help Jack Curry. I think on reflection, I listened to the Matt Gray interview, and he said that's the best they've played. Yeah. Best they've played all season.
Yeah.
And I think it was a combination, wasn't it? I think, you know, Sutton come out. Hey, look, do you know what? If you see, you know, just as much as we're like, oh, crikey, a sales off, he's gone. Sutton would have got a massive pickup from that. You know, our top goal scorer and an absolute pain to play against wasn't playing. And with a Sal, you sort of know that he's going to occupy two defenders. You know, their fullback's not going to push on as much because there's a threat behind. And nothing, no disrespect to Nathan Young-Coombs, but he's not, you know, he's not in that sort of level on that side of the pitch. So I think it just upped Sutton's game, and we just couldn't get out. You know, Nathan Young-Coombs, Johnny Jackson was honest enough and said that, you know, we're trying to build his game time up and had to throw him in. I don't think he would want him to start. I definitely think on the Friday they What day was it?
It was the game was a Sunday, yeah.
Sunday. So the Saturday would have probably been all positional play, would probably have involved Ayer on that. So it's it's an interesting thing. If you analyse it, Johnny Jackson obviously didn't want to go away from changing the formation or style. So he literally did one in, one out. And maybe on, like I say, hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? You know, but maybe on reflection, he might think, well, maybe he might change the style, could have potentially. But he obviously didn't want to go away from that because just, yeah, it didn't work. We couldn't defend that side. We then couldn't get Huddling into the game. Josh Davison was in effect. We just couldn't keep the ball. Midfield was all over us. But I think it's a combination. I think Sutton played really well in that half hour.
Yeah.
Like, let's be fair, I've looked back at the highlights and I'm wincing as I'm watching them because they just battered us.
Yeah, the highlights as well that you saw, the Sky Sports highlights on the internet that you can see, I thought they were generous to us, you know, because I think they cut a few chances out that Sutton had. If that game had finished 5-0, I wouldn't have begrudged it, to be honest with you.
How much space? Like, it's difficult when you're behind a goal, isn't it? Because you can't, you know, obviously you're just seeing like the Alamo coming towards you because obviously they're attacking out. But when you look at it from the halfway line, the space their wingers had.
Yeah, it's massive. The
space their wingers had, you know, in terms of, hey, look, Byler and Curry got a real good going over. But let's be fair, they were literally 2-on-1 at some point. Always, you know, because, and you're right, Randall was very good. I thought Randall was good in the first game against us. Mm-hmm. I liked him. They got some good players, son. But you know what? They probably play how we would want to play. So they play very percentage football, good wingers, fast players. I wouldn't have an issue if we had a similar setup, not setup, but you know how Sutton play. I think they worked out last year. That's how you play League Two football. They've had quite a few injuries. Their players are coming back now. They had Jason Goodliffe's son, and I know they rate heavily. They look decent. And if you looked at the two teams, what team would you think is going to go and challenge for the top half of the table? It wouldn't have been us on that performance, would it?
No. And to be fair to them, they are, I mean, at this moment in time, I think longer term, we are obviously better placed in terms of progression as a football club, clearly. But in the short term, they're ahead of us in terms of where their first team is at. They've got, as you say, they know who they're recruiting. They know how they want to play. They get players in that fit the way they want to play, and they've had consistency in management and going out and playing the way the manager wants to play. So we're a little bit behind them in that regard. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world in terms of having that defeat and showing some of the weaknesses we have. I think the unbeaten run, as I said to you, I know I've said it to you a few times over the last few weeks, but the unbeaten run is perhaps can be deceptive in terms of how well positioned we are. I think we've got a lot of work to do. We still need, as I said to you, you're probably bored of me saying it, we just don't create enough chances. We really don't. And if people are thinking about this unbeaten run and being a springboard for something, I think we might be getting ahead of ourselves. I think we haven't quite figured out how we go about attacking teams, taking the games to teams. And to refer back to Ethan Chislett, if you take Ethan Chislett out of this team at the moment, I think we would really struggle because his set pieces have been so important, vital, in fact. And again, you saw that his contribution over the past week, goal against Newport, goal winner against Colchester, it was his free kick that leads to the goal against Sutton. So, yeah, without him, we would be struggling, I think.
And he's a little bit gone under the radar a little bit in terms of other teams' potential. I think, what is he, 25, something like that? He's not old at all.
He's not old. No. He's still young.
Do you know what I mean? And I think he's gone under the radar a little bit. But if you were a scout, you'd be thinking, he's got 9 goals from midfield, set pieces, very dangerous on set pieces. Yeah, of course, there's other parts of his game that can work on, but every player's got that. I think what we were worried about at Sutton was the strength from the bench. You know, Sutton had it. We didn't really have anything for game changers. They brought on that number, that Luton lad, didn't they? And they've obviously snapped up the Peterborough loanee who they had last year.
Of course,
so you're right. So you're right. They have a certain way of playing and they are recruiting that way. And we are a little bit behind that. I think one thing that's, I must admit, I've realised that I've been way off the mark with Harry Pell because I felt Harry Pell was wasted where he was, but I don't think he can play in the two with Alex Woodyard, and I've been proved wrong on that. I thought he'd be better coming from deep. I think he's better now. I think he's actually better in that forward place. I just think he attacks better. I don't, and I'm not saying he's not good in that midfield. I just don't think it's not his strength. So yeah, putting him back in midfield hasn't helped us. So yeah, I think we know we want to play. We've got to recruit the right way. I agree with you. I think, you know, what we do have, what, you know, in terms of recruitment, what we have recruited is very good characters.
Yeah.
Because this team, let's be fair, that team could have hit on and lost the game 3-4 easily. Could have hit. They didn't. You know, I think you called it as well. Josh Davison definitely did something, or it was ran the troops. You know, Alex Widjar was trying to get amongst them. Harry Pell, they didn't hide. And I think we know a few Wimbledon teams in the past that may well have hit on a cold, horrible day at Sutton United. So I think we got, like I said, the characters right. We do need this. There's probably 3 or 4 players I think we should bring in. Definitely more now. Definitely more now. The players are going out the door. But you know what? I'm content. I'm not expecting. You know, obviously we're going to probably talk about the head of football operations that's come in. But I'm not expecting miracles in this window. It's probably going to take a couple of windows for us to really hone in on what we want. But we're in the right direction. But I can already see people getting a bit edgy with this window going, well, we've got this new head of operations. Don't cane him on this window. Crikey's only just come in.
No, and as you say this, Jay, we need to figure out exactly what it is we want. We in the summer, we recruited with the idea of playing 3-5-2. We got experience in, which we knew we wanted. But now you look at it and you go, well, we've changed our shape. We've changed how we're going to play. We're now, when everyone's fit, we're heavy in centre halves as a squad, and light in attacking options. So we really, this window, as you say there, with the new head of football operations coming in, sitting down with Johnny Jackson, working out exactly what our plans are for, yes, in the short term, the next few months, but realistically, I think further ahead, what system we're going to play, what style we're going to play, and which players fit into that system. So I'll be fascinated to see who we do bring in. We will have to bring players in because we do need numbers. We need numbers. We need numbers. But saying that, so if we continue with the way we've been going and we go with the back four, like you say, two holding midfielders, Harry Pell pushed up further forward, Nathan Young-Coombs does not get into a starting 11 in that shape. So if you want to get Nathan Young-Coombs playing and scoring, I think you have to put him, as I say, you have to put him alongside someone up front.
Or you put him as a sub, as sub a changer.
But then you change your shape then if you bring him on, surely. He doesn't play up front by himself, surely not.
No, you can't do a Josh Davison role. You can't do that. It's difficult, isn't it? Because, yeah, obviously when Nathan Young-Coombs got injured, we were still trying to play the pretty football, weren't we, and stuff like that. And also, Ethan Chislett wasn't always getting 90 minutes. There was very much, you know...
Yeah, he was the one that dropped out, yeah.
It's a dilemma. Do you know what? Good dilemmas. And I think one thing I worry about is we can't change anything from the bench, even in shape, formation. We can't change it. We did it a little... And that's why I got a bit excited about 4-4-2. Not that that's the way forward, but it just was a different shape. And Carl Hudding coming in added something in. It made teams think, which you always want to. Because when you're on a run like we are, people are going to be looking in a lot closer and going, well, how are they doing that? Mm. You know, and we'll do that. So, yeah, I think it's going to be different. I don't know how you find a position for Nathan Young-Coombs. That's your problem. Because realistically, you might play him in behind Josh Davis.
Yeah.
Which then would mean Harry Pell pushing back. And I think Harry Pell's more important because the way we play, the diagonals we hit, you can hit Harry Pell. You know, he plays sometimes upside. You know, let's be fair, nothing against Carl Hudding, but wins more headers than Carl Hudding. That's a funny thing. You know, let's be fair, Carl Hudding was being expected to win balls at 6 foot over his head at Sutton United. Just because he's tall doesn't mean he can, you know, he can compete with the air traffic space up there.
Go gadget legs.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Made me laugh. Like that logic, Harry Pell's got long legs. Why is he not getting every ball that's even like wide of him? Do you know what I mean?
You see a
tall footballer, you go, oh great. Like if you remember back the days like Kevin Francis, Stockport.
Wow, what a name.
You know, that's what I saw, you know, Peter Crouch, you know. It was like a comedy act, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like I remember going to QBR, Peter Crouch, and all he started singing was Freak. Yeah, he was like a freak. Yeah. He's just tall, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? But he was actually better with his feet than he was with his head.
Yep.
Which is not, you know. So I think that's your problem. I think Harry Bell has to go further forward. Nathan Young-Coombs can't play wide. Or if he plays wide, he can't be expected to be in a defensive wide, if that makes sense. Yeah, he just doesn't have that game. Yeah. But then I think this day and age, you can't afford to have players that don't defend. You know, the argument is Arbissau sometimes doesn't come back as far. We leave him a bit higher up the pitch. But that's sensible because that makes their fullback make a decision of going, well, if I go, he goes, I'm in trouble because he, you know, that side of it. So I don't know. It's a good problem to have, though. But I think the window is important for getting the right type of players. I'm not expecting, and I could be totally slaughtered here, I'm not expecting nice players to come in. I'm expecting a few ugly players, and I mean that in terms of battlers, fighters, because that's what League Two is about. And we found that at Sutton. Sutton showed you exactly if you can't fight in the first half hour, you can be out of a game before you win it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sutton didn't play any football in their half whatsoever. It was all, as you said, Stu, it was getting into the wide areas. Yeah, yeah.
They squeezed so high up the pitch.
Yeah.
Which meant every time we knocked a long ball, we had no chance because, do you know what? They'd done a number on us. They squeezed the space and, yeah, I was a bit, I was deflated that first half. I was like, oh, my days.
Just end it now. Yeah.
End it now. Where's the white towel? We're done.
And it was a little bit when we equalised. It was less celebration, more just kind of a bit like guiltily sort of going, okay, yeah. A bit embarrassment almost. But the point, just very quickly, because it leads us to touch on the Newport and the culture of the games very briefly. Arbissau not tracking back. Exactly as you said, Stu, we get the goal against Newport for that very reason. He didn't. Newport spotted that the space was in front of Jack Curry. Their fullback went forward, got caught, simple ball out to Ayoub, and we win the free kick from which, and then Chislett does amazing to score with the free kick, but it all comes from Ayoub staying forward, ready to counter. Clearly, a lot's been said about the Newport game in terms of the referee. The red card that Carl Hudlin got was rescinded, mistakenly given. I think perhaps because the referee and assistant referee alluded to a headbutt, which was a mistake on their part. I think if they'd have perhaps worded it differently, he might not have got away with it. Don't know. But penalty, certainly not a penalty, an absolute dive. And I just want to say, Stu, I've never seen a player celebrate the awarding the penalty more than their number 22, which tells me it wasn't legit.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was more annoyed with Josh Davison because if you watch back the highlights, one thing you don't do, right, when you've had, if it's a red card or not a red card, when you know the team's up, isn't it? The team's Newport won a high, right, okay, we're now going to get equaliser. And Josh Davison loses that ball in midfield for the ball that goes. I think he hits one of our own players. And I was really annoyed thinking, why are you inviting pressure? From where I was, I didn't think it was a pen, but I was like, the way this ref's, unfortunately, the way the ref had been in the last 5 minutes, I think he got caught up with it all and just felt he had to give everything for Newport. Mm. But you're right. You know, it was a case of it wasn't a pen and then it's an easy penalty. Obviously, and I've even looked back at the one that we had in terms of the free kick that we scored from Ethan Chislett. Mm. Vassal gets taken out twice, didn't he? Once on the outside. It just feels like Ayoub just doesn't, and I'm not saying about protection because it's not about being protected. It's just about calling what it is. Mm. You know, he is taken out so many times because he's quick footed. If he stands you up, he's going to go past you. And it's an interesting point when he stays up because he's often double marked, double teamed. I still get frustrated with Ayoub that he doesn't see it quick enough. Hey, look, from where I sit, I'm quite fortunate. I sit high up. I can see the whole pitch very clearly.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, but sometimes if he can just shift that ball, he can be more effective without the ball than, you know, he is with it. But, yeah, it's rescinded. Is that our second or third this season that's been rescinded?
I think it's the second towards the other one. But interestingly, Shrewsbury?
Yeah, that's what I was going to come on to. Yeah.
I'll leave you. That's you can explain that.
Yeah, it's just something we were chatting about. And what's that, wasn't it? Shrewsbury have had 3 red cards rescinded this year. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Well, this season, I believe. That's not good. And do you know what's interesting about the... I've had a bit of a laugh with George Jones about a technicality he's calling it, because I called it straight after the game that I didn't think was a red. Mm-hmm. I just felt it was more that, unfortunately, because he's so tall, to get someone's head, he's got to lean 3 foot down. And then, of course, he's on top of the player and the player just went down and it caused it all. Normally, when you get sent off, I know what you're saying with the headbutt, but normally you get it's violent conduct, isn't it? That's what technically gets logged as. I don't know whether It'd be interesting whether the reason is because they called it a headbutt and it wasn't. Normally it's called a violent conduct. So whether you've done your head or done your
Okay,
hands
yeah, it
around
doesn't,
the
yeah.
neck. I'm not sure. But anyway, I called it right because I said it wasn't a red card and George doesn't want to agree with that. Bless him. But
He
we've
won't
got to
do.
stop having these. We've got to stop having these. The Chris Gunter one at Mansfield. It's just referees are so quick to bring out the red cards. It's just
Yeah.
like the red mist goes over and just give yourself some chance just to, not everything has to be a red card. Not if it has to be a booking,
No.
by the way. I was watching a game in the week and the referee started booking people. And I think in the end, he realized I better stop because I'm,
Not got
but
any
then turn
players
out, do you
left.
know what? And I don't know if he's right. I watched a Celtic Rangers game a few days ago, and the first yellow card wasn't until the 88th minute. I was flabbergasted. That game normally has a yellow card in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, normally.
What's that? What's that all about?
Certainly hit a peak a little while ago. Who's the Rangers player? Was it Morelos, the striker?
Oh yeah,
Always get.
he could have an argument in an empty room, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Oh mate, he's a hilarious character.
Put him in a team with Ben Thatcher and see where you go. But yeah, I mean, the other thing is
Yeah.
with Rickards, what I would say is the other thing with Hudden and Gunter thing, despite them being rescinded, is also perhaps, as you say, they're the referee, maybe just take a few seconds to compose himself, whatever. Sometimes our players, if players are deliberately trying to get you to react or retaliate, if as soon as you do, you're going to put yourself in a position where you could be in that. So perhaps that's just something to be
Yeah.
mindful of. Very briefly, we're running very short time. Colchester, the only thing I was going to say about Colchester, Stu, was again, exactly as you said, good character from the team, resilience to come back. You said there about perhaps we inviting pressure with the Newport equaliser. Certainly, I felt Colchester invited pressure. And we got the equaliser. Quick thinking, they went to sleep for free kick. Are you great cross equaliser? Great. And then started taking shots from range. Goalkeeper wasn't holding on to any of them. And Chislett's on the spot to make sure he can get on the end of any rebound. So, although I didn't think we played well at all, and we got a little bit lucky, they hit the inside of the post as well at 1-0. No arguments over this penalty, by the way, either. It's the second time Nick's done that this season. But I think you can argue that because of the way we went about it in the closing stages and the way we kept in there, you'd probably say we just about deserved it in the end.
I
Maybe.
thought we, Joe, I thought they were value. For me, Colchester, that's a game they should be winning. Like if you're down where they are, they should cope. But obviously they can't close games out.
Yeah.
We know that from last season. I thought we'd done really well to even get her. If we had taken a point
Oh,
at one,
yeah, fair. A point.
when I hit the inside of the post, I was like, if you let a kindy run at you hitting the inside of the post, you've got a problem. I think then I'd have taken a point. But you're right, once we got the equaliser, there was only one team that was going to win that. And shooting from distance, what is that all about?
Tell you
Your
what.
man Hussein Vida gets a shot in.
Tell you what, football is a funny old game, but you notice we had a few shots from distance, and I reckon that was clear. Players were clearly told. Have a go, keep it low, keep it on target. Their goalkeeper's not going to hold on to anything. And that's exactly what happened on every occasion. Goalkeeper didn't hold it, pushed it, and we get the
But you know
result.
what? But you know what? There ain't great goalkeepers in League Two, so why the hell do we not do that more often?
Well, this is true. This is true. He's
We
not their
moan
first choice
so
keeper,
more.
in fairness, so as well.
No, but we moan about it so many times, don't we? We don't shoot. We try and work the ball in the box. And I look at a lot of other teams. They shoot from distance, hit somebody, hits another person, goes in the top corner.
Yeah.
Hey, look. So it'd be nice if we'd done that a bit more often. Not all the time, because sometimes you just shoot and you've got more chance of being. If you're behind a goal, you're literally ducking because he's going to come. Well, you've got Harry Pell at the moment who just doesn't. One thing I noticed with Harry Pell doesn't understand the idea that fans are behind their goal. Colchester and
I think he
Sutton
knows.
trying to take people out. Like he was
Yeah.
like, "Yeah, like Harry, mate, like you've got to be careful. That ball works." But
It
then
does.
equally, the other side of it, if you're not looking to where the ball is, it's your own fault. We get in and up.
We've learned this many years at King's Meadow, especially. Always got to be watching because you never know what might happen. Right. Very quickly. So, Stu, just before we go, I want to just quickly touch on Crewe very briefly, a team that won their last game at home to Tranmere. They've won three of their last seven in the league. They've lost the other four. They've got injuries. Manager still finding his feet. Lee Bell came in because Alex Morris stepped down for compassionate reasons, if you remember. I think after we'd drawn 1-1 with them at Plough Lane earlier in the season. Their best player for me, Courtney Baker-Richardson, he's out injured and will be for a little while. They've got Dan Agyi still playing. But I think it will likely be a draw, to be honest with you, just law of averages and all that. But I think I don't think they're in great form. I don't think they're in great shape. I don't think they have a great squad. It's a winnable game.
Yeah, Cruiser plays, you're going to go, and then they like him. They like everybody, don't they? Do you know what I mean? They welcome people. They're not really that horrible. Ground's not intimidating. It's one of those. Do you know, it's one of those, if you... Hey, look, I know it was 3-1 there last year, but that was down to Cosgrove. No, I'm joking. Well, basically, it was.
It was huddling. Yeah. He hadn't signed for us yet, but it was still huddling.
I think you're right. I think the draw... hey, look, we've had a lot of games. We haven't been able to... and we're now to rest the squad too much, unless we get a few new players in. But I think you're right, a draw. I don't think we lose at Crewe. I really don't. I don't want to say it too loudly, but I don't see us losing back-to-back games, I'm being honest with you. I think it'd be a draw at worst.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, that game brought forward because neither of us are in FA Cup action this weekend, having been knocked out. So anyway, there you go. By the by. We've got 2 minutes left, Stuart. Very, very quick game of Jackson 5, because we've not done this for a long, long time. So cool. I'm going to have to rush you with 6 suggestions. But in 2000 and 2001, we played at Gretzky Road and won 4-0 in consecutive seasons. So in 2000, we won 4-0 there. The following year, 2001, we won 4-0 again. 5 players started for us both games. Do you want to have a guess at who those 5 names might be? You've got a minute.
Okay, I'm going to go for Jason Harley. Because I know he scored in... Jason Harley? Jason Harley?
John Harley? He scored it.
That's the one, same. Jay Harley.
Sadly, he was on loan with us for the first game. He did score twice, but not the second game.
Damn. Shipley?
No. Wasn't with us the first season. No.
Hild?
No. No.
Damien Francis?
No.
Bloody hell.
I think he was injured the second season.
Oh, I don't even got one yet.
2 more guesses.
Jason Yule.
No.
Chris Perry. I'm just a laugh, by the way. Just in case he somehow snuck back for 2 games.
This is the annoying part where the timer on our screen goes. I've got no idea how much time we've got left. So I'll very quickly run through, Stuart. The 5 answers were Paul Heald, no, but Kelvin Davis, the goalkeeper, was one.
Ah, damn.
Chris Wilmot, Darren Holloway, Trond Andersen, my phone has auto-corrected that to Trend Andersen, and Alan Kimball. And the most interesting thing there is Chris Wilmot got sent off in the first game. We still won 4-0. So yeah, those were your 5. Stu, thank you very much for joining me. I'm going to wrap this up before we get cut off. Thank you everyone for listening. Updates from Crewe will be on Twitter at 9YRIS Podcast. Otherwise, it's been good to be back. We will be back again next week. But for now, I'll simply say Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last. 2 plus 2 equals 4, and we'll always equal 4, and we will speak to you again next week.